Game on.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Betty. How you doing?
Call the meeting to order at 5:30. First up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect public interest or to prevent a needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes from March 19th, 2024.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on the minutes. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Minutes are approved. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
I'll make a motion to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion and a second on the claims. Questions or comments? Seeing none, let's roll call. Claims are approved. Lights are good. Item number 4 is action on contractor's application for payment number 3 in the amount of $46,529.17 to Philip Karkowski Construction and Trenching, Inc. for the 2023 Wastewater Treatment Facility Ultraviolet Light Improvements Project. Roger Protzman is on the line. Roger, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you are good to go. Give us rundown, sir.
Yeah, just a little update. The construction is generally complete and the system is in operation. They've completed 2 of 3 tests and they've all passed. Third test was collected Monday and we're waiting for that. Should have the result tomorrow. We're still working through. There's a programming issue and a mechanical issue that they're having a system that overpressurizes. So I know they were back on site Monday working on that just to see if they could address it. And I talked to Casey to see how that went yesterday. But basically, we're recommending approval of payment of everything but retainage, and that the city holds a retainage until the punch list is completed. So at this time, we recommend payment for $46,529.17.
Any questions for Roger?
Move to approve the payment application number 3 in the amount of $46,529.17 to Philip Karkowski Construction and Trenching Incorporated.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The action on the payment application is approved. Thank you, Roger.
Thanks.
Item number 6 is resolution 2024-14, approving plan specification and estimate of costs on the park and recreation building project. And for this, I believe we have Kevin on. Kevin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Hey, Kevin, I know you're kind of standing in for Bob on this one, throwing in to the fire, but do you have anything to lead us off with, or are you just going to be more answering questions today?
I can be more here to answer questions. I do have the cost estimate pulled up in front of me. I'm not sure if you wanted to go through that and see if anything comes up.
Well, I'll put Wes and Lowell, if you want to come forward, and we'll let you guys set the stage here for us.
So this project is part of the Prairie Park construction. We allocated, it's been anywhere from, I think, 1.1 to 1.5 million in our bond proceeds when we did our $10 million bond a year or so ago. And so we have that kind of earmarked. So Beth has plenty of money to do this project, right Beth? And so, yeah, 1.3, that is not gonna, 1.3 is the estimated cost. That's not gonna include concrete around the building or any landscaping. And then we also will have office space inside to finish off ourselves. Some of it would be done by our own guys during the winter months, and then obviously we'll have to contract some of that out too. So, you know, don't think that this price estimate is all inclusive, because there will be additional cost to it. Again, this isn't the bid price, it's just the estimate opinion. cost estimate, so.
And all the plumbing's gonna be done, so everything's gonna be set up for us. So once we build the walls, everything's gonna be set up in the floor, because it'll have floor heat, and it'll be set up for all the restrooms, all the bathrooms, all the drinking fountains. Everything will be plumbed for it. It'll just be a matter of putting up the walls and having the electrical done for the offices, and hang sheet rock, of course. And all the electrical in the shop will be done, the lighting will be done, doors, windows, interior. So the shop's gonna be completely done. So we're hoping that's done by fall, so we can get out of Joel's shop and put our home equipment in there for the winter, and still be able to work in there on the south end. And I'd still like to get concrete poured too, if the project gets going.
This would be in the, when you come into Prairie Park from Fairgrounds Ave, it'd be right on your left side. Yeah, the lake, it'll be into the northwest of the lake. So if you can see, it's in your packet as well, but what the building, it's a metal building. Nothing real fancy. There will be an alternate bid of some brick around the outside as well. And I don't remember if the opinion of cost, maybe you know this, Kevin, maybe you don't, if the opinion of cost includes that, or if that is just with a two-tone metal.
The opinion of probable cost does not include that alternate, okay. And that's a stone veneer that we were talking about just around the base of the building. Our estimate would be that just with the relative size of that building, that stone veneer with the extra structure included could add about 5, maybe even up to 10% of the cost of just the shell for the pre-engineered portion.
Don't love that.
No.
So here's the interior look. That's really small. I'm sorry about that. But the peach colored area would be the floor space, would be storage and working on vehicles and stuff. And then the other multicolored stuff would be the offices that staff and contractors would build. And it would be a mezzanine level, so we'd have storage over top of it. Four large doors on the east side, with one on the west that we can have a drive-through. There'll be a wash bay at the far north end. It will be big enough. That's a 16-foot door, and that should be big enough to get Joel's equipment in there as well. At this point, until stuff gets bigger, of course. But so planning for multi-use there with Joel's department as well, and others. I mean, others can use it as well, but that's kind of the main purpose of it.
I'm hoping the bids come in lower than that 1 point. What was it, 3? So I was hoping more around the 1.
1.1 is kind of
weird. 1 would be nice.
Yeah. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah. Now we're at 1.1.
Yeah.
So the building itself, I think, is estimated at 450 to 500,000 or so, just the actual building materials, the structure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the metal building structure itself. Is around
470. I'm trying to think of things that we've either cut or added to
the doors. You know, we talked about doing nicer doors, but we can't get a nice wood grain door for a 16-footer. So we kind of wanted to dress the building up a little bit so it didn't look like a machine shed sitting down in Prairie Park, and that's the reason for the stone. But I think that stone's going to come in too high, so it'll probably be more of a two-tone gray and light, you know, light gray and a dark gray with white doors. So I'm guessing the stone's going to come in a little bit higher than we want.
Questions for staff? Questions for Kevin?
Really, that's the only alternate that we put in was that stone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that we did.
You know, only we have floor heat, but that's the only thing that's been added from day one was floor heat compared to the radiant heat, tube heat.
I'll move to approve resolution 2024-14.
Second.
Motion and a second, any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Item number seven is discussion with the Wayne County Ag Society and the City of Wayne for mutually beneficial inter-local cooperation acts. You're the designated podium guy?
Well, I don't know, unless they want to come up as well.
Moral support.
Yeah, they're here to...
Can I get your name and address, Doug?
Doug Timmy from here in Wayne, as well as Andy Nelson from over by Carroll and Rod Gilliland. It was brought to our attention maybe about becoming part of the city for the fairgrounds. Mr. Whaler talked to us. We were neither for nor against it. There was way too many questions that needed to be asked before we could make a determination either way. One was policing. I know the county's taking care of the fairgrounds. I know that was probably an issue with you guys. Some of the things that we, you know, a benefit for us would be water rates, sewer rates. The logistics were of cattle being out there. Sometimes it's not just during the fair. The trap shoot range out there, how all that works in, and other activities. We would rather somehow work more closely with the city. I know we have some of the youth groups working out there, or practicing out there, whatever, some of their games or whatever out there in some of the open area there. If we could do something where we would end up with the inside the city sewer and water rates, we would be much happier to be able to allow more use of the fairgrounds for other events that might come before the city. That, you know, we did have the chicken show out there the year of the COVID and stuff like that. So we're always open to work with the city. A couple years ago, they did a cell phone, whatever they can tell on pings or whatever. And there's 20,000 plus people that come to Wayne during the county fair, which brings a significant amount of people into town. A lot of businesses profit. You think everybody eats out there, but McDonald's runs a lot of those places, get a lot of hits as people are leaving the fairgrounds, Casey's, Wayne East. Maybe they're getting some of their other refreshments, trying to stay ahead of Councilman Ishii. But no, it is, we'd like to see, you know, at this time, we're not really in favor of it. There's some things to work out if we were to, but we've sort of set up a group that would like to meet with you guys and maybe set up some formal discussions or something. But you guys have any questions for any of us?
No, I think I missed one of the earlier discussions that took place, and I think, you know, the council's happy with the way things are. I think we saw a lot of problems with all the extracurricular activities that take place up at the fairgrounds, and then trying to craft legislation that treats you special but not really, and
it's
like we'd have to create kind of a lot of zoning exceptions and things like that. So I would personally prefer to keep things the way that they are. It seems to be working real good, and if we can work more closely, all the better. And part of that's probably just having a committee or something get together and just have some more frequent conversations to help each other out if we can.
Okay, but yeah, it was, you heard the news from the last council meeting. It sounded like somebody said we were extremely in favor of it, and we felt we better come here and make sure that was not the case. So
I just publicly say thank you very much for working with Lowell and our recreation program, because obviously with losing some of the property down by the school or with the school, it's been very beneficial.
You know, the more people we can get on the fairgrounds, better it is. It's advertisement for us. Grandma, grandpa come from another town to watch one of their kids play soccer out there or whatever, and see things are looking nice, they're more likely to come back for the fair. So it's a win-win for all of us. So
just a great asset for the town. I mean,
and we're happy to be a part of it. So
Doug, one thing, we were talking about city sewer and water rates. So the course of that week, because it pretty much starts probably on Sunday, probably goes a week and a half where the water and sewer rates are probably pretty high, of course.
Right.
So, you know, how much different would it be if you pay the, you know, regular rate like what we do since we're, you know, live within city limits?
I meant to get those funds before, or figured before tonight, and I apologize for not. But it seems like...
It's a pretty substantial amount.
It seems like we're paying, because it's a double rate.
Right.
And I think our monthly bill, even when we're not out there, is around $1,000 a month or more, which is minimal water and probably the only building that's really used that would have sewer would be the office building out there. And, well, with the snow was out there, it was almost impossible to get to the office. So, but, and I don't know if part of that, I don't know if you have a minimum.
Yeah.
And I think that might be where we're not using the water, it's just that we're getting handled by the minimum,
yep,
sort of.
Well, that's something that we can look in, you know, just see where the rates are. Like, just look at the usage. And just maybe by looking at the usage, you know, month to month, and, you know, I'd entertain, you know, a...
Right now, we do a $5,000 credit.
Like, water during the fair... usage, about 100,000 gallons, it looks like here.
And it's $1.40 per thousand. Is that correct, Casey? That's within city limits, correct?
Yeah, it's more than $1.40.
Like, you know,
they have two inch meters, so their meter charges more.
I think Betty usually has us read meters, like, prior to and right after, you know, just to track the usage. You know, we bring that backfill out there for you guys to water, to keep your roads watered too. And I don't know if we bill you for that. I know we keep track of it. I have no idea if that actually gets billed out or not.
I can tell you on that one.
I think that water is, the meter's there so we don't have sewer charge on that portion.
Yep. So it's just irrigation.
So it's just irrigation there.
So, I mean, I can look at 2023's bill from mid-July to mid-August was $832, and sewer was $1,971. Electricity was $2,281. So it was a total bill of $5,000, $5,086. I mean, that was for last year, and in 20...
What's it running like during a...
2022, it was $4,000 from the 14th to the 5th. So from the mid
to
mid-July. That's total.
Electric sewer.
What's it run for just a normal month?
I think 1,100 or so for both water, sewer, and electricity is what I had asked. I think Melody told me that, didn't she? So this is all based off the fair week. I think, like, your January bill was $1,100.
So of that $1,100, where is the biggest hit to them?
Biggest hit is going to be your 2-inch meter fees, or your meter charges.
Still electricity, though, right?
Then electricity, yeah.
So electricity is really, you know...
That's single.
Yeah.
I mean, they pay the same as...
About that.
Right.
Yeah.
Worth looking into and talking more about.
Okay. No other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Item number 8 is ordinance 2024-2, amending the future land use map of the comprehensive plan for the city of Wayne. This is the third and final reading.
Under this ordinance 2024-2, move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
This is strictly the O'Reilly's and Murphy property.
Correct. I can bring that map up if you want to see it again here.
Nope. I just wanted to make sure that's what it was.
Yes. The fairgrounds is not included. It's this map.
It's the gray.
It's the gray area. Yep.
Seeing no further discussion, let's roll call. And that is approved. Jump back up. Sorry. Map pulled up here. Item number 9. is ordinance 2024-3, amending Wayne Municipal Code Title VII, Traffic Code Prohibition, and enforcement section 78212, speed maximum on East 21st Street. This is our second reading of the ordinance.
Cale, I know you, I believe you got an email from Kevin Armstrong.
I did not see it. That does not mean it didn't get scrapped.
Okay. Regardless, I did speak with Kevin and also another homeowner along, along 21st Street, that would be affected, you know, if the speed limit changes from 35 going east from the parking lot of the golf course. And they both expressed concern or their interest. They just want to make sure that it stays the way it is right now, where it's 25. And then when you get past Mr. Armstrong's property, that it would be 35 from there. So, which is kind of what we had talked about last meeting.
Is that the way it's currently written?
Yes, it would be at the... So right by Armstrong's property, there's a 25 mile an hour speed limit there. That would stay there. I mean, that's from that, I'm about that spot. Yeah, 1,900 feet or whatever it is.
1,906 feet is what's written here.
So everything stays from Armstrong's west.
Correct.
The only change is Armstrong's east. So.
And that goes to 35 to the gravel. Is that where it goes to?
Yeah.
Well, actually, past the gravel ways. City limits.
East side of Page Hills.
I can get that. I can show that here.
So, and like we talked about, that's up to the county, what they want to do from there on.
So it'd be 35. Just thinking. City limits is right here, so it would be this stretch of gravel as well. Technically, the city's. But then it would, right in this area is where it would switch to 35 to the east.
And there's no posted speed limit sign on the rest of that gravel, right? So it potentially is going to keep people going 35 all the way to the stop sign.
Good.
Good, yeah.
Which is, if you turn right back into the city, it's 35. So it makes sense, I think.
It's actually 35 north, too, until you get past Ben Scooter's division.
This way.
And to me, that sign is redundant because that was put there before they put the stop signs there. So there's a speed limit sign that is like 150 yards north of the stop sign. But that's a county thing as well. So.
Anybody else hear anything? Or have any thoughts?
I still would not like to see 30. I feel like by the time you get to Armstrong's house there, you're still going 35.
Not everyone does though, Jill.
Yeah.
Some people follow this feeling.
What are you trying to say, Joe?
Trying to say,
leave it alone.
I feel like it's so the 25 should go further east then, like to where you enter the, is that click on there?
Yes.
I think it would be different if we had houses all the way along the north side, but you know, it's farm ground. Who knows if that'll ever get developed. To me, if it ever gets developed, it'll be someone else sitting in this chair and probably everyone else. And then I think the council can make a decision after that if they need to change that speed limit sign back to 25 due to the population density.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot. I mean, I still think that when you're driving, you don't feel, because those houses are so far set back, you don't feel, but I guess if you're living there, of course, you want the speed limit to be slower, right? Everybody wants slow in their neighborhood, but right at the hill there, I'm cruising, I'm flying. 35 miles per hour, no faster though, my own. Any other comments? Otherwise, entertain a motion.
Again, this is second reading. Just know that.
ordinance 2024-3, number 2.
Sure.
I mean, is that how you read that?
Subsection 2.
Subsection 2, amending the Wayne Municipal Code, Title 7, Traffic Code Prohibition and Enforcement, Section 78-212, speed limits, maximum East 21st Street, and move for approval.
Motion?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Once it's approved with Council President Rodderson in dissent. Item number 10 is ordinance 2024-5, approving the vacation of a portion of Walnut Street located within the city of Wayne, Wayne County, Nebraska, described as the portion of Walnut Street lying between the north line of Hillcrest Road and extending north to the south line of 14th Street. Wes, why on earth would we vacate this stretch of ground to Wayne State College?
Couple reasons. We used to have sewer line that went through there. There's a lift station at the end of the hill on 14th Street. That has been decommissioned. We don't have sewer there anymore. Bring up the map here. So at one point, there were houses all along 14th Street to the north. So that's where we were serving water, sewer. We do still have electric down the terrace of the, between the street and the parking lot. We would be retaining an easement through there to make sure Clayton can do what he needs to do. The city does not own 14th Street, so that is the college's. So right now, for example, we push snow into a dead end. I mean, we don't just leave it there for them. I guess we maybe could. So I think if 14th Street was owned by the city or was a city street, there might be a few more reservations, but since it's already owned by the college, we think it makes some sense. Now with that new dormitory going up, a lot of students are going to be crossing that street. So the plan would be to, at Hillcrest, is to actually vacate it at Hillcrest. We'd have through traffic Walnut to Hillcrest, and then they'd have to go right to get out of that, because they, at this point at least, the college, you can't go make a left there. So staff is in support of this. And we'll have another action to another, the next ordinance. We'll talk about a water line. But this is kind of the first step to do this. It's been through the college. The college has looked at it. Legal has looked at it. Amy's looked at it. And so that's the recommendation is to get rid of it. So questions about that?
So with the road still
exist?
Yeah, exist.
No.
So they want to rip it all off.
So what they, I don't want to speak on behalf of Wayne State, but what I've heard is they would put another driveway into the parking lot. And so Walnut would exist to the south, or heading to the south up to about that area in there where another driveway would go. And then it would be a walk, a pedestrian way, or ripped out, yeah, to extend kind of what 12th Street used to be through through campus. That's what they would continue on. I don't know if they'd go south there with that type of thing or what, but that would be closed off to motorized vehicles. Well, our motorized vehicles, Wayne State, I'm sure, can do what they want with that. So we curb it on the south side of Hillcrest there. South side, I'm sorry, the north side, and not allow traffic to the north. I don't know if they put bollards on there, however Wayne State would do that.
I'll introduce ordinance.
Thanks. Well, oh, yeah. I just wanted to say one thing. Austin, we got an email from, I would assume it's someone in our ward, didn't have a name, but their biggest concern was that if there's an emergency, a fire, something to the new dorm or that area, is emergency services going to be able to provide service to the new dorm, to that area, with the street being abandoned? So I would assume the college has thought about that and there's plans in effect.
This is kind of interesting. Joel, do you want to talk about this? emergency services route that...
So right now, a lot of times the Langos comes from the north of town. They actually still come across 14th from other ambulances from other communities at least. Actually, that's not a city street, so our actual route from the north would be down 21st Street down to get to the hospital. This scenario, I would say their path is probably coming over to Province Road down to 10th Street and then over to Walnut to get to the new dorm.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It would be an issue if we had owned 14th Street all the way through. But since we don't, it's never been on any of the emergency plan routes. So that's just not a route that the vehicles are supposed to take.
Well, the one thing that I didn't know is they're leaving Walnut Street kind of in front of Lot 10.
Mm-hmm.
So there is going to be close access to at least corner of the dorm. And then with the other corner, it's going to be right at Hillcrest and Walnut Street. So, and that's, you know, no fault to anybody. There's a lot of people that may not have been up to that area and see how much has changed.
Yeah.
and where the streets turn and where they would stop. So
still will have more street access than Anderson or, you know, a lot of the other buildings that are up there currently.
Pile, yeah.
I actually sat in some conversation yesterday during a safety meeting at the college. Part of that, there'll be a little bit of tweaking of that. Haysman's is the one that's going to be doing the design and the construction of that walkway through between the CAT building and the new dorm. The CAT building actually has a docking station on the northeast corner of that. So they are aware that there's going to be large trucks that are going to have to come in into that section of that walkway. So it is designed for larger vehicles to enter from the north. So from an emergency standpoint, I mean, emergency vehicles should be able to enter in that way. But they also actually talked about doing kind of almost like a little drop-off loop on the north side of Walnut where that street would dead end. So like if somebody comes out there and just needs to drop somebody off at the dormitory or at the CAT building, that they can kind of do a drop-off there as well.
Kind of like what they have at Connell.
Correct.
Where there's kind of like a roundabout.
Yes, correct.
Directly to the west.
So there is.
There's one right there next to Bowen as well.
Yep. So there's talk about that, doing that on the north side of Walnut where it meets up out at there at Hillcrest.
Okay.
So plans may change. But that was as a discussion that was had yesterday.
So what benefit does this go to the city to vacate the street?
We're not pushing snow on it. We're not maintaining it. Again, we don't have water and sewer anymore in that area. And again, the electric will keep that. So
would it be up to us then to maintain from that section north in the North Victoria on Walnut Street up to 14th Street with snow removal then?
No.
So they're going to...
That's college is responsible. That's college.
So we're responsible from 10th to Hillcrest.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because that will be an open route.
Yeah.
Hillcrest to the
On the flip side, we would lose our highway allocation funding.
So we lose X amount of miles, whatever. A couple bucks. Yep. I think the college's main thing is the safety.
It is.
Safety reasons to get again 200 kids going across the street.
The day that they were doing the building dedication, people were almost getting ran over by vehicles. People were not slowing down at all for anybody crossing that street.
For parking right now,
yeah.
in particular, with the construction vehicles and everything, it's just a mess. It's a madhouse. They need to get traffic not flowing through there.
Just
students will figure it out once it's closed. Go a new way. Everybody's got to drive by Walnut and see if they can park right next to the student center though first. You know. Everybody's got to check.
Yes, right.
You have more faith in people operating cars than I do.
I'll introduce ordinance 2024-5 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? It's roll call. It is approved with Councilman Bratran dissent. Ordinance 2024-6 is approving a transfer of ownership of water line located along previously vacated 12th Street, commencing on the east side of Main Street and continuing east through Wayne Street at State College campus, as the water valve is located as what is commonly known as Lot 4 of Wayne State College. Legally described as lots 2-23 Crestview addition to the city of Wayne, Wayne County, Nebraska. Subject to Wayne State College relocating meters at the east and west boundary of said transferred water line at the point of connection to the city's water line. You got a little description in your packet as to what we're talking about here, but Casey, anything that you want to say about vacating this and having one line in and one line out, kind of, to the college?
Well, it kind of goes with what you were talking about with getting services up there and stuff. So if we vacate Walnut, we really have no access via city street to get to any of that water line anymore. And it's tough to get to that water line anyway because there's no street. 12th Street's gone, so we have to have them move bollards or whatever for us if we want to get in there to flush hydrants or do any of that work. So there is currently two metering points in campus, one by Hahn and one by Bowen. So that was when we said, well, if they want to pay to relocate those meters to those east and west boundaries, we don't have anything tied to that line any whatsoever.
I'm trying to help you here with a visual, but Wi-Fi is not cooperating. So talk amongst yourselves. Well,
was this pushback, or was there any pushback by the college, or was this initiated by the college, or initiated by the city?
No, this was more initiated by. So it'd be nice to have everything inside of the college boundary be the college's. And that's what we're kind of trying to get to here. This water line is only used for fire suppression at this point. And so we're flushing, we're maintaining this line. Okay, here we go. This line would go from, I'm going to really complicate things here and put another layer on. We'd go from, of course it's blue. Okay. I don't know if you can see that or not, but it would be this stretch. Yeah, 2,000 feet of main that would now be the college's responsibility. When Casey talked about trying to fix it or trying to maintain it in the middle of campus, there used to be a 12th Street used to go through all the way, mm-hmm. So you could get to things. Now it's a walkway or a pedestrian way. And so if something would happen, it'd be very difficult for us to get to where we need to be. So it's like, let them deal with that line. We talked a little bit to Jeff Brady. Jeff Brady doesn't remember ever. So we don't know how old the line is necessarily, but it was before his time. Anything to add to that when you talk to Jeff about it? Okay. So, yes, they would meter on either end, and then we'd have nothing to do with inside of that. So.
College is okay with that?
Yes.
I believe they're actually in favor of it after we approached them, because now instead of having to just go through those two metering points, they would be free to tie to this main and it would increase their flows and help them out as well.
And then we're working on something else for Shriner Drive that will address another short little segment trying to get rid of some sanitary and storm to them. So, but that will come at a different time. Just trying to clean all that stuff up. We think it's easier for both parties, both of us, hard entities.
I'll introduce ordinance 2024-6 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Does the city own that water line from Walnut to 14th as well or no?
Yes. When they decide, if we vacate that and they take it over from Gilcrest North, when they rip that street and stuff out, we would just simply dig down by a valve right at that intersection and just cap it. And then that they would own everything going north from there. And it doesn't affect us at all because we have everything looped and stuff anyway. So.
Austin, it's right in that intersection. There'd be a valve put in there.
Because what is that? You just have to go down and flush that right now?
Yeah.
Because it's a dead end to the north?
Yeah, well, it's a dead end for us, but actually it just turns into their service to go to Energy Systems.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they would still have to do a cap or some sort of a little construction at, right at the corner of the dorm right there, and they could cap that, probably across right there. We'd have to back and do some investigation, but they should be able to cap that going back south, and then that would just completely be dead on the east side of the Cap building.
And this line would still have flow through it, obviously, so it's not going to restrict flow, and we don't, not that we need it, but it's still just, anytime you can get more loops in, it's going to be better for flow and stagnation.
We got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Ordinance is approved. Item number 12 is update on city property located at South Douglas Street. Wes, this is yours.
Yeah, this is on the agenda just to have discussion. If you want to know more about this property that we now own, we put a sign up, a for sale sign on the property. And just wanted to have a little, if we can ever get to it, have a little discussion on, do you want us to actively market it, to try to sell it, just let the public know that it is for sale. At some point you'll have to set a price for it. It's a little different than maybe like what we did with 4th Street property, right, where we said we want a proposal, bring us your best development in that area. This is a single lot, so you're not going to get a whole lot of creativity on it other than somebody wants to build a house or build a duplex. I mean, that's about what you can do. We'll get there. So again, I want it on the agenda just so we can discuss if you want to direct us to do anything differently down there. But right now we just have a for sale sign. Somebody would approach us. We would not be able to tell them a number. It would be, you have to make an offer to the city. And that's if that's how you want us to do it, that's perfectly fine too.
I kind of like having a number tied to it. We just take offers. I feel like if you know.
$10.
$10. So again, what we're looking at here is this 300 lot that the city now owns. Another option would be, if you guys don't want to deal with it, I'm sure you could approach the CRA. The CRA would probably take it from you. But that doesn't have to happen. It's easier to sell, buy and sell property as a CRA than it is as a city. Just a little, you have a few more hoops to jump through, but it can be done, so.
Isn't the alumni house supposed to go there one time?
Before we owned it, there was talk of it going there, yes. And we had some conversation at the CRA level whether we could put the alumni house there, but it was going to cost an extra $25,000 to get it moved there. And the CRA said, no, we'll put it back on, we'll put it on the lot that we originally planned for it on.
Yeah, Joel?
Just a couple things. So that lot is technically in the floodplain. When we built Chicago Street, that's the lot where the propane tanks used to sit down there. And so the trail's been realigned. It no longer looks like that supposed from 2021. But there was enough fill brought in that lot's high enough it would be out of the floodplain if you submit the paperwork to FEMA. And so there's roughly a $4,700 fee is what we paid to get the 401 lot paperwork done. That's probably about what we'd be looking at to get that one accomplished to where it would be buildable, so I could issue a building permit if somebody did buy it. The other thing I want to point out is you obtained that lot in lieu of a $35,000 payment that was supposed to go towards the Chicago Street project as part of the subdivision agreement down there. And so there was almost $100,000 spent on storm sewer that was meant to help recapture some of the cost of that $35,000.
What does that purple color turn in 2026, Joel? Does it say purple?
If you go to all purple.
So 300 remains purple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Fancy word for a floodplain.
The 100-year floodplain.
And this
unless what we find from Olson changes that.
Right. Yep.
So do we pay now, or do we hope that Olson catches that? Olson's.
I would at least wait until we get the preliminary start from Olson to say, yeah, this looks favorable, that may shrink.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're out, I mean, opportunity costs, we're not paying taxes on it, do anything like that on it, so.
I think getting out of the floodplain is good.
I think we need to wait until we hear back.
But, no rush. Any other questions on that? Otherwise, I'll say the update is complete. Item number 13 is committee update on the Community Activity Center relocation project. Wes, you can take this one as well.
Can we start with anybody else that was at meetings or where we're at?
Yeah.
Okay, so committee met last Wednesday again. They will meet again on the 10th. Well, technically, it's going to be a town hall meeting on the 10th at 5:30 and at 7 o'clock at the community room at the Activity Center to discuss where the project is at this point. We'll talk about financing. Dr. Lenahan will be there also to answer questions if the public has. Well, Dr. Lenahan will present on some of the things that the school would utilize the existing Activity Center for, and answer some questions as well. So the plan is to have the architect kind of lead it off and explain the project, and then I'll talk about a little bit of the financing issues and what sales tax would do for the project, and then Dr. Lenahan. So that's kind of the plan. Probably about an hour-ish meeting, and then I'll say 45 minutes, and then give the public an opportunity to go through the building if they would like, and then we'll come back and do it again at 7 and do the same thing. So, committee, you have a brochure in front of you that the architect did. So that is just an informational piece of what kind of comparing what the existing structure is, what we looked at in 2022 when the public voted on the proposal and it lost by 3 votes. And so then what would the 2024 look like for cost purposes, as well as just square footage, and what are you getting differently at a new location versus where you're at currently? So that was done. We reviewed that. We reviewed some other like photographs of what stuff could look like. What else?
A lot of changes to the brochure and the messaging.
Yeah. Anything to add, Matt, on that?
No, the 3D imaging is pretty sweet, you know, because it's like we were walking through the building, seeing the differences, you know, just overall size. You kind of get an idea of how big of a project it is, how nice it's going to be. So it was a really good meeting, just seeing kind of a finished product. You know, it's been a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of meetings to get to that point. And even though I wasn't at every one of them, still, if everything works out, it's going to be an amazing asset to the city in so many ways.
I know that this is a proposal at this point. There's an appeal. When they get into design, things are going to change. Dimensions are going to change. I know it will. And so just know that this is not a final product by any means.
It's a rough draft.
Yep. But we have to have something to, this is the first part of the process. So.
All right. With the update complete, item number 14, we are adjourned. Yeah.